The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. This is Trinity Sunday. On Trinity Sunday, you can expect a sermon about the Trinity. On this Sunday, almost every priest who is preaching about the Trinity, to try to make it possible to understand this mystery. The key word is mystery. Down through the centuries, the Church has tried to explain this mystery in so many different ways. Now, in the early Church, that is, the Church of the first century and second as well, for that matter, the Church didn't have much time to get into deep theological issues. They simply wanted to survive. They were under persecution from the Roman government, but that didn't stop them from arguing. The first arguments tended to be about Jesus. Who and what was Jesus? Was Jesus a human being? Was he a divine being? Was he somehow changed from a human being into a divine being after his resurrection? All of those you can find in New Testament scripture. And they found them all. And they argued about that. Then they argued about, well, what is Jesus' relationship to the Father? Are they one and the same? Is Jesus just kind of under the Father? And the Father in charge of everything? How did that relationship work? Then in the fourth century, in the early part of the 300s, something changed. The empire embraced Christianity. And now the Christians, being free from all of the persecution before, we're now free to openly argue about all kinds of things. And one of those things was the Trinity. Now, you would think, just from reading, that it was obvious. This passage from Matthew that we heard this morning actually baptize people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And yet, most biblical scholars currently think that that was an invent them to the Gospel of Matthew. That it wasn't really there in the first place. Paul's letter, the grace of our, the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the peace of the Holy Spirit, it named Father and Holy Spirit. But for Paul, those are three synonymous names. It wasn't necessarily a description of the Holy Trinity. It was just a description of what Paul sought for his followers. So the church began to try to explain the Trinity. And you all have heard most of those explanations one time or another. But the problem is that all of those explanations fall short of the Trinity. God the Father, Creator, God the Son, Redeemer, God the Holy Spirit, Sanctifier. That's a sequential thing. It means that at some point God the Father created everything, at some point God the Son redeemed everything, and at some point God the Spirit sanctified. But the Trinity is not sequential. It's all at the same time in the same way. Well, let's try. I am a father. I am a father of the church. And I am a father of a son and a daughter. And I'm also a husband. But that's sequential too. Because there was a time when I was not a father of the church. Hadn't been ordained. There was a time when I was not a parent, a father of children, because I didn't have any. And there was a time when I wasn't even a married individual. So that's sequential too. And then Jonathan Scotus, that crazy Scot, came up with an idea. And it all had to do with the mind. Mind is singular. It's one thing. But the mind creates ideas. The mind plans for their completion. The mind acts towards their completion through the body. Again, it's a sequence of events. Any explanation that we can come up with for the Trinity is somehow impossible if we believe that the Trinity is all one person, all the same, and uniquely combined. There's no possible way to explain it. And so, that key word is, it's a mystery. It is not explainable because it is not understandable by human beings. It either is or it isn't. And Christians down through the ages have believed that it is a fact. But it all comes down to belief in a mystery. Mysteries are marvelous and wonderful things. They don't have to be explained. They just are. The psalm for this morning, Psalm 8, is an evening psalm. you'll notice in the display of the heavens that there is no counting for the sun. It's not there at all. So this was a psalm that was sung in the evening when the world was began. It was evening and morning, the first day, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, evening and morning. And so as we greet the evening, the psalmist extols the glories of God's creation. The moon, the stars, this vast universe that God created, and how excellent is God. And what is humanity that he should even consider us worth his thought? What is man that you have made him but little lower than the angels? But here's the mystery. The word that gets translated into our English is Elohim. It is not the word for angels. It is a word for God. It is the divine. For the people of the Hebrews were not to speak the true name of God, and so they spoke of God in different ways. Elohim, El Shaddai. All those names are names for God. The psalmist says, what is man that you are mindful of him? You have made him a little lower than divine, a little lower than God himself. And that's a mystery. That's who we are. That's how we live. That divineness, almost, but not quite, of humanity is what guides our lives down through the ages. What guides our decisions, what guides our actions, even when those things happen that are so horrific, so terrible in our lives, those things that we sometimes find ourselves having to do with no option. Even in those times when our heart squeezes inside of us, when our minds shrink from what we have done, when we turn aside, when we even perhaps repent. It's those times when that divine peace that is within us all shines forth. Those times when we can say to ourselves, although I had no choice, I regret what I had done. Those times we are but little lower than the God who created us. And that's another mystery. Why he did that, we will never know. Except, perhaps, that he did it out of love. So mystery within the life of church is something that we all live with, that we all encounter, and that we all thank God for. Amen.